There's a question that faces every individual on our planet today. Every man, every woman, every child. A question that faced the people in the time of Jesus. The question simply, who is Jesus? Or more specifically, and the question that we'll find in the text this morning from John's Gospel, is Jesus the Messiah? We're continuing through John's Gospel this morning. We're in chapter 10, starting in verse 22. And the question on the screen for you, is Jesus the Messiah? And what have sheep got to do with it? What does it mean to be one of Jesus' sheep? Verse 22, John 10, verse 22 says, then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. Now, if you're like me, you're thinking, so what Old Testament event did that festival relate to? But in fact, if you do a search, you'll find it doesn't relate to any Old Testament event, because it happened, the event it celebrates took place after the Old Testament had been written. It's what they call the intertestamental period. That is the bit of history between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so I could only find from notes rather than from the Bible itself. So this festival isn't recorded in the Old Testament. And by comparison, for example, we think of the Passover. Now we can read about the Passover in Exodus, in the Old Testament, in the time of Moses, when God does that amazing miracle and the angel of death passes over the houses of the Israelites who have put blood on their doors. Yeah, we can read about it in the Old Testament, and then in the New Testament we can read Jesus celebrating the Passover with his disciples. So the Passover we get in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Likewise, a few weeks ago, do you remember we had the festival of booths or of tabernacles? Do you remember? We were looking at that in John's Gospel. That's the festival that reminded the Jewish people of the 40 years that they'd lived in the wilderness in temporary shelters. And so that was ordained in the Old Testament, and we see it being celebrated in the New Testament. However, this celebration, as far as I can work out, doesn't relate to something in the Old Testament, but something in the intertestament period, that is the bit between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And apparently the temple was rededicated at that point because it had been profaned and they had felt the need to rededicate the temple about 165 years before the time of Christ. But what is interesting is that for the Jewish people, this day, and Jesus is there, it's the day of the celebration of the rededication of the temple. But it's interesting because no one in the passage we read today is talking about the temple. Instead, they're going to be asking a question that you'll see in just a moment about Jesus. Are you the Messiah? Verse 22 says, then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there, they gathered around him and asked, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Now, as you know, Messiah is the word that means God's chosen one or God's anointed one? And so that question on the day of the festival, of the dedication of the temple, is interesting because it does not relate to the specially dedicated building, the temple, that had been profaned and rededicated about 165 years previously. Their question relates to the specially anointed person. Not the chosen building, but the chosen person. Not the anointed building, but the anointed person. You see, they were looking forward to Messiah. They were waiting for Messiah. Not God's chosen location, not God's chosen building. Messiah, God's chosen person. God's anointed one. Verse 24 says, the Jews who were there, they gathered around him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Now the Jews are asking for a plain answer. I suppose that means the vanilla answer, right? Plain ice cream, vanilla ice cream. They want the vanilla answer. The plain, simple, easy, normal, usual answer. Are you the Messiah or not? But the problem is that there was no plain answer. And there was no simple answer. Not if you look at Jesus' response. Because the answer relates to them as individuals. And it relates to us as individuals. And it relates to everyone and anyone who hears the voice of Jesus. Of course, yes, the answer is yes, he is the Messiah. And yes, he was, and yes, he is. But in his answer to them, well, you see, the Jews were asking a head question, we might say. You know, tell us plainly, facts and figures, are you or aren't you? But you see, Jesus gives them a heart answer. Jesus says to them, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name, they testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. See that question on the board? What have sheep got to do with it? In Jesus' answer, sheep have got everything to do with it. Jesus says, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name, they testify about me. But you did not believe because you're not my sheep. Jesus had already told them, but they do not believe because they have not become his sheep. They have not given way to the shepherd. Are you struggling with belief? You want to believe that Jesus is Messiah, Savior of the world, Savior for you personally? You want to believe in Messiah? You've got to become a Jesus sheep. You've got to become one of his sheep. You see, the time is over for asking intellectual and theoretical questions about Jesus. Jesus is not demanding a head response. He's urging us to give a heart response. He wants us to believe that he is the Messiah. He wants us to become his sheep. And that is all about relationship. And then as we move on into verse 27, Jesus says, look, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my hand, out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. These verses, 27 to 30, they're the key verses really for the whole passage that we're looking at this morning. And I want to look at those verses that we've just read, 27 to 30, in a bit more detail in a moment. But before we do, let's just keep going through the passage. How do the Jews respond to Jesus? Verse 31, it says, again, his opponents picked up stones to stone him. These Jewish people, they didn't do just what we say these days when people get angry. That's that phrase, isn't it? You know, they throw the toys out of the pram. They don't throw the toys out of the pram. They pick up stones, so much worse, ready to stone Jesus. But Jesus said to them, guys, I have shown you many good works from the Father. So for which of these do you stone me? Is that a good question? Jesus asked a really good question. You want to stone me? I've been doing all these miracles. I've been healing people. I've been teaching. I've been loving. So for which of these are you going to stone me? And they answer in verse 33, we are not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy. Blasphemy. What is blasphemy? That's when people who are not God claim to be God. And they spell it out. Because you, a mere man, claim to be God. So we get back to the question, is Jesus Messiah? Now, I don't think that the Jews' response or reaction is really fair. Bearing in mind that they had just asked Jesus if he was the Messiah, if he was God's anointed one, if indeed he was God. Well, he had to answer them, didn't he? And when he does, they accuse him of blasphemy. And Jesus continues in verse 34. He says, is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and scripture cannot be set aside, what about the one whom the Father set aside as his very own and sent into the world? So why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? The Jews and the Jewish leaders in particular, the Pharisees and so on, they were always in conflict with Jesus. And the trouble was that they just refused to believe. Jesus was doing amazing things, wonderful works, miracles, signs, wonders. Sometimes you may have thought, or someone may have asked you, you know, if in our church we could do loads of miracles, wouldn't that convince people to come to know Jesus? But the reality is, these Jewish people, they'd seen all the signs, they'd seen the wonders, they'd seen the miracles. And they would not believe despite all of this. And in verse 37, Jesus said, do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, and clearly he's been doing the works of his Father, healing people, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Now, Jesus' arguments are very sound, right? Makes a lot of sense. It's a very good point that Jesus is making. But their hearts are in the wrong place. So they will not believe. We get back to the question, what have sheep got to do with it? Well, they are not Jesus' sheep, so they are not going to believe. And in verse 39, tells us, again they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Remember, one of the key things that we keep talking about in John's gospel is Jesus' awareness of time, and he's in control of time. He escaped their grasp because it wasn't his time to be put to death, yeah? Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. There he stayed, and many people came to him. And they said, even though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true. And in that place, many believed in Jesus. When we read the Gospels, we mustn't imagine that everyone believed, and we mustn't imagine that everyone did not believe. Everyone had to make a choice, and in this passage itself today, we see how whole loads of people were refusing to believe in Jesus. Then Jesus moves on to another place, and people start turning to him. Many people did not believe in Jesus, but others did believe in him. They had to make a choice, and we have to make a choice too. And the people that we rub shoulders with at university, at school, at college, at work, in our sports clubs and so on, they all have a choice to make. But what are the advantages? Do you want to just do the next slide, please? There it is. It's beautiful. What are the advantages of being one of Jesus' sheep? And what are the requirements of being one of Jesus' sheep? So we need to go back to verses 27 to 30. Do you remember I said we'd have a look there in a bit more detail? Verses 27 to 30, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Now, I haven't used this for some time, and I pressed everything, and I don't know what made it. Is it the bit on the side? There you go. Got it. In one. So we ask the question, what are the advantages of being one of Jesus' sheep? And what are the requirements of being one of Jesus' sheep? And I could have put the requirements together and the advantages together, but I thought it's easier if I just leave them in the order they appear in the passage. So to make it easier for you, I've put the requirements in yellow and the advantages in white. So the question is, what are the advantages of being one of Jesus' sheep, and what are the requirements for being one of Jesus' sheep? Let's read the verses again, verse 27 to 30. My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So first of all, we start with a requirement. My sheep listen to my voice. And as we know, as we've said before, it is not enough to hear. A parent says to a child, are you listening to me? And the child says, I can hear you, Mum. But hearing isn't the same as listening. and listening has to be accompanied by doing. In our world today, there are many voices. Sometimes we are asleep at night, or when we're drifting in and out of sleep and so on, and thoughts and unpleasant thoughts come into our minds. We might call them voices, unpleasant voices. And Jesus is saying, listen to my voice. And sometimes there are going to be other voices conflicting. We've got to listen to Jesus' voice. If you have given yourself to Jesus, then you are known by Jesus. You are known by the shepherd. I want these verses for you this morning to be something that gives you comfort as you go away. I know some of you are struggling. Struggling. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. One of the things that keeps coming up at the lunch club, people are saying, you know, they don't go out much. They don't get out much. We don't know people much these days. In our world, we're all stuck in our little houses on our own. There's a desire to be known. And that's one of the things we offer as church. And if you look on our website, there's a whole thing about belonging. Have a look at it. It talks about belonging. It says things like, I want to belong. I want to belong to my local church. I want my church to know that I belong. I want to know that I belong. I want to be served. I want to serve. I want to love and be loved and so on. Please have a look at that on the website. It's important as church that we know each other, we love each other, we support each other. And first and foremost, even before that, we are known by Jesus. If you're struggling this morning in your walk with Jesus, know that if you have given yourself to Him, He knows you. He loves you. We move on now to the second of the yellows, the second of the requirements. My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. As we've said, it's not enough to hear. We've got to listen and we've got to do, or the words that come out of the passage, we need to follow Jesus. And that word, follow Jesus, is the word that Jesus says to his disciples when he first meets them, and they're fishermen, follow me. And it's the word he says to them after the resurrection. He says, follow me. And we're being called, follow Jesus. What are the advantages of following Jesus? Let's move on. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. If there's one thing that makes me cringe, it's when I hear people talking, presenting the gospel, maybe to a children's group or whatever, and they say, you know, receive Jesus so that you will go to heaven when you die. You know? Why do I cringe with that? Because it's not just about when you die. It's here and now. Eternal life. I tell you what, we need the full package. I'm not saying that the going to heaven to be with Jesus when you die isn't important. It's massively important. But we've got to present the two together. You want something good? You want relationship? Well, you want it now, don't you? And you want it forever, don't you? And this is the wording that Jesus uses here. I give them eternal life. Jesus says to the woman at the well, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me and I'd give you living water. It says to Nicodemus, born again. Born again, new life. Do the postmen still use elastic bands? Do they still drop them on the pavement? I haven't seen any recently. And if you pick them up straight away, they're nice and stretchy, yeah? If you pick them up a day or two later after it's been raining and you stretch them, you hurt your fingers, yeah? Because they snap, they ping, because they've perished. Totally useless, destroyed. That's the word Jesus says. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. They'll never be destroyed. That's the advantage of becoming Jesus' sheep. He'll give you life. You'll never snap. You'll never perish. Didn't we say earlier on that there are conflicting voices? There are other voices trying to influence us, trying to get hold of us. Did we say that? And that's why we said it's really important that we discern and listen to the voice of Jesus and follow him. And maybe some of you think, what would happen? What if the other voices are more powerful and I'm snatched away from Jesus? Is that a fear? Sometimes. But Jesus in his word this morning is saying, for those who have given themselves to me, who have become my sheep, no one will snatch them out of my hand. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Give yourself to Jesus. Remain in Jesus. Become his sheep. Listen to his voice. Follow him. And no one can snatch you out of his hand. Years ago, I worked in a company, a plant hire company in North Acton, and it was an impossible place to work because my manager hated his manager. There was my manager and there was the director. So I was there, and then there was a manager above me and there was a director above me. And the manager would say one thing and the director would say the other. So you could never do the right thing. And even if the manager gave you words of assurance, there was conflict. Doesn't it give you joy and peace and hope when you see that everything Jesus does, he does together with the Father? This is one of the things we keep talking about in this Gospel of John. This whole notion of God, that Jesus doesn't do stuff on his own. Look at these words here. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. If you become the sheep of Jesus, if you become Jesus' sheep, then God the Father has given you to Jesus. There's real unity here. There's nothing worse in our world today than disunity. Everyone doing their own thing in conflict with each other. There's real unity here. And lastly, when you come to Jesus, you come into relationship with God the Father. What does it say? I and the Father are one. Our God loves us. He wants to give us life. My sheep listen to my voice. Friends, let's listen to Jesus. He knows us. Jesus' sheep follow Jesus. And Jesus gives them eternal life. And Jesus' sheep will never perish. And no one can snatch them out of Jesus' hand. And God the Father has given us to Jesus, and he is greater than all. No one can snatch us out of our Father's hand. Jesus is working in unity with his Father. Is Jesus the Messiah? Yes, he is. What have sheep got to do with it? Well, the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, they would never believe because they did not become Jesus' sheep. Let us give ourselves to him. Father, I want to thank you for this message this morning. You're calling us into relationship. You're calling us to listen, and you're calling us to follow. Some of us, Lord, have tried to add other conditions, other rules and regulations, and then we've become frustrated because we can't live up to the rules and the regulations that we set for ourselves. But you're saying, come to me. Listen to me. Follow me. Help us, Lord, to follow you. Thank you, Jesus.